Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole, ladies and gentlemen, host and facilitator tonight with you. We're excited about her coming on in a few minutes after a few announcements real quickly. We want to let you know that we're excited about you tonight, and we trust that you're going to take some good notes tonight as well and be blessed from the Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole, host and facilitator tonight. God bless you. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kingdom Life Worship Center online women's book discussion with host and facilitator, Dr. Sharon Cole, nurse practitioner, business owner, and minister of the gospel. The book discussion for these few shows will be Cultivate My Heart by Pastor Verna Warner. Love that title, Cultivate My Heart by Pastor Verna Warner. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, another announcement before we turn the mic over to Dr. Cole there. The women will be traveling to Pensacola, Florida for the Visionaries and Covenants Women's Summit Friday through Sunday, March 22nd through 24th. If you would like to attend and also enjoy the beautiful white beaches, contact Dr. Janice Crenshaw via email at drjcrenshaw@gmail.com. Hotel rooms reserved at the Hilton Garden Inn on Airport Boulevard. Once again, that email for Dr. Crenshaw is drjccrenshaw. That's Crenshaw, drjcrenshaw@gmail.com. And also, you can call me, Elder Kevin Vaughn, for more information as well. We'll be glad to pass on your request to Dr. Cole and Dr. Crenshaw. You can call me at 404-401-0233, 404-401-0233. So we thank you so much for your time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for those who are just joining us, this is Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole, host and facilitator for tonight's wonderful dive into Cultivating My Heart with author Pastor Warner. And ladies and gentlemen, if you would, put your hands together as we open up the mic for Dr. Sharon Cole. God bless you. Dr. Cole, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hopefully everybody joined in and settled from a day of work and ready to get started. I am, as I mentioned, I'm Dr. Cole, and I will be doing the small group, and it's Cultivate My Heart by Pastor Warner. We did do chapter one a couple weeks ago, and the way I like to do it is I kind of like to do a little review for those of you that are just joining in here on chapter two. So just to kind of, you know, kind of review a little bit about what we did, I guess, on a couple of weeks ago. So chapter one, we kind of opened up and we talked about cultivating and tilling. Actually, cultivating and tilling is a word that's pretty much used for gardening and also farmers. And what it means is that they break up the stony places in the soil and kind of remove weeds in order to prepare the soil for growth. In other words, it breaks up the stony hard places in order to prep, to use, to grow, to raise up and develop, pretty much like God does with our hearts when we have a stony heart, when there are things there that he needs to kind of remove and so that he can minister to us and get us to the place that he would have us to be. Now, we also talked about the importance of the heart. We talked about it physically, spiritually, and it is pretty much the middle of things. It's the innermost part of everything. Have you ever heard anyone say the heart of the fruit? And if you notice, the heart of the fruit is always the sweetest part of any fruit that you may have. It's the inner man. It's sometimes used interchangeably with soul. The heart seeks our desires and tendencies. It also seeks our emotions. It seeks knowledge and wisdom, conscience, morality, and pride and rebellion. And God always tells us to kind of guard our hearts, even so in relationships of people that we may become involved with. He wants us to guard our heart because our hearts are so precious. We talked about the Hyssop purge. I love that word, the Hyssop purge. Hyssop is actually a herbaceous plant which grows in southern Europe and the Middle East. And it's pretty much used to kind of purify, to remove any type of impurities. And when I think about this, I also think about an antiseptic. An antiseptic is pretty much like a germicide. It helps to get rid of bacteria. And also I think about it as a cough expectorant. In the medical field for a cough, if you have a cough that's non-productive, we use what we call a cough depressant. And it's to kind of help the patient so that they're not coughing so much, especially if it's just a cough. Then we also have what we call an expectorant, and that's when the patient has something that they're producing with the cough, like a greenish phlegm or yellowish phlegm. I don't mean to gross y'all out, but I just have to use that pretty much as like a parable. So what we do here with the cough expectorant is we kind of help to get the phlegm out. And that kind of reminds me of what we do with the Hyssop. Then we also talked about sorrow. we talked about the godly sorrow. We talked about the plain sorrow and the difference. Some of the ladies kind of chimed in and you know, kind of discussed what they thought sorrow was or what sorrow meant to them. I remember growing up as a child, whenever you did something or whenever I did something and I got caught or whatever, the first thing I would do is say, I'm sorry. And I would say that because I was caught. But when we have a godly sorrow, it's a sorrow that kind of penetrates our heart. It really kind of touches our heart in the sense that we feel like we've disappointed God. But we can't stay there. We know that God is a forgiving God. Thank you, Jesus. Another thing that we talked about when we kind of closed was the state of the union of your heart. Kind of ask the ladies to kind of think about what's the state of the union for your heart. It kind of reminds me of what's in your wallet. So what's in your heart? And with that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move forward to chapter 2. Now, chapter 2 is pretty much a short chapter, and hopefully we'll have lots of good discussion at the end here. But now that we've cultivated the heart, let's talk about what's next. What's next? And here in chapter 2, we talk about a healed heart. Now, I can remember my first assignment when I went in the military. My first assignment was a place called El Paso, Texas. It's a place close to Houston, Texas, and Mexico. And as a new nurse in the military, they always kind of give you the assignments that nobody else wants, especially if you're the last kid on the block. You're going to get either the medical floor or the surgical floor. Well, I had the medical burn unit, the pediatric unit where I worked with kids. And you had it was divided up so that each day one of the nurses had Whirlpool Day. Oh, God, how I dreaded Whirlpool Day because it wasn't a pleasant thing. And what would happen is we would wrap the babies up in a blanket. We would go to the room, get the babies. We would wrap them up in a blanket, and we would take them down to the whirlpool. It was on warm water. And what we would do is we would place them in the whirlpool. We would use a firm washcloth, and what we would do is we would kind of wash them so that the dead skin came off the eschar from the burn. And it was a process that we call debridement. Debridement is when you remove dead, damaged, and infected eschar or tissue. And then afterwards, what we would do is we would put this silvery white cream on them called Silverdine. And if I got medical folks or nurses on the line, I'm sure you understand what Silverdine is. And the purpose of the Silverdine was to pretty much make sure that nothing got infected. Now, the whole purpose of debridement was so that we could remove the old tissue. And then we could move forward so that healing, the healing process would begin. Because we could not, those bodies or that tissue could not heal because we had dead eschar there, so we had to remove the debris. And even though it was a painful situation, it was needed. It was required in order for the healing process to begin. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we all go through hurts in life, and chapter 2 kind of goes over some of the hurts in life, hurts like in divorce, death, heartbreaks, betrayal, and a lot of times hurts are from the people that are most closest to you. We have small hurts in life, maybe disappointed on a job or get upset with a friend or whatever, and we tend to kind of deal with that in our own way. Sometimes we may cry, we become depressed, we may overeat or undereat, and it's just our way of dealing with heart issues or heartbreaks and disappointments in life. But how do we deal with the heart hurts that we can't seem to manage? Of course, we take them to God. And Pastor Vera talks about he being the master physician. I like to call him the cardiologist of all cardiologists. He's the heart specialist. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank God for him being the heart specialist. So as we begin to look at chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I love this study. I really do. This is actually one of my favorites, Elkanah and Hannah and Peniah. when we began to look at the study, I was curious as to what Elkanah name meant, and it's chosen by God, redeemed, and created. And this man was well off. He lived in Ephraim Hills, and Ephraim Hills was pretty much an area in Canaan where it was really fertile land, and it was a hill country. As a matter of fact, one of the commentaries said that the mountains were about 1,600 feet high. Now, that's pretty high. So if you got some mountains, of course, you got some valleys. So in those valleys, it was green, it was viable, it was rich, and it could be cultivated to produce a crop. So Elkanah, in other words, he was a blessed man. He was favored by God, and he was just hid away with all of this fertile land. But get this. He had an infertile wife. My God. So when we begin to look at this study, I looked at polygamy. And polygamy is not uncommon. It wasn't uncommon during this era. As a matter of fact, it's okay in certain parts of Africa and also the Middle East. In one of my last assignments, I traveled back and forth to the Middle East and allowed me the opportunity to kind of learn the culture a little bit, especially when I was in Kuwait and Qatar. And one of the interesting things I found was that a man could have up to four wives as long as he could take care of them. And the thing about it is if they're purebred Kuwaitis or from Qatar and no mixture in the blood or whatever, it was no problem for them to be able to take care of four wives because they were rich. And one of the things is they were rich because a lot of the wealth was passed down. But another thing that they got was what we call oil income, and that's the oil from the land. They would get an income from that, and that would be divided up among the pure Kuwaitis. It would be divided up among the families. As a matter of fact, they would get 6,000 KDs a month, and that equals about $18,000 a month. That's in addition to the money that they already had. And they not only got that, but the husband got it, the wife got it, and however many kids, they were able to get a certain amount as well. They didn't get as much, but they were still, I could do a whole lot with 18,000, I'm telling you. But then we kind of look at Hannah. And Hannah name means grace of favor. The theologians actually believe that she was the first wife. And if you notice in the study or in 1 Samuel, her name is mentioned first. And I believe that Peninnah came on the scene a little bit later, and her name actually means pearl or precious. And she, I believe she came on the scene because Hannah could not conceive. Now, the thing about it was Elkanah actually really loved Hannah. And we all know how love can be. You love somebody with your heart, mind, and soul, and you just never want to see that person hurt. And you just consume with every fiber of that person. You wake up thinking about that person. You go to bed thinking about that person. You can't hardly breathe when that person's not around. Any little things to remind you of them. You look at the chair. Ooh, that reminds me of Hanbun. You know, it's like you just consume with that person. Well, Elkanah had a love like that for Hannah. But it was one small issue. Hannah's womb had been closed up by the Lord. In other words, she was barren. She couldn't conceive. Now, we often talk about heartbreak. And the Lord when I read this, the Lord really dealt with me on this because I was like, oh, my God, you know, I could only imagine how hurt Hannah was to not be able to conceive for her husband, be able to give him children. And back then, children were so important, especially a man child. But when I looked at it, I looked at Peninnah as well. Can you imagine how she felt knowing that she was second pick? So in other words, she only came on the scene because Hannah basically couldn't conceive. So can you imagine how Peninnah must have felt. So in other words, she probably thought, you know, I'm just convenience for Elkanah. I'm just a baby maker pretty much. But I'm going to do what I can to kind of win his heart. And bringing it up to today's time, one of the things that I thought about when I thought about Peninnah, I'm sure that, you know, she did different things or whatever to try to win his heart. I can imagine her even today saying, you know what, babe, You just got home, and I cooked your favorite dish. I got you some tilapia here with some rice and veggies. Hell, and I made your favorite cake. I made you a strawberry cake, hand-picked strawberries just for you because I know that's your favorite. And another thing, Elkanah, I picked up the laundry. And look, I found you a shirt today that I found at Men's Warehouse, and I bought it, and it's your favorite color. And on the way, I saw Best Buy, and I stopped at Best Buy, and I got your favorite iPhone. So I'm sure she was doing everything that she could to win his heart. And then even after that, she said, babe, I ran your bath water, and guess what? I got a surprise for you. I see y'all minds going. It's not that surprise. But one of the things that she said was, guess what? I'm pregnant again. I'm so excited. Our family is growing. And then she looks over at Hannah, and Hannah has to deal with all this. Can you even imagine? And just think about family reunions when the kids are running around and now is saying, hey, Johnny, don't do that. Sabrina, you're going to get your dress dirty. And then she looks over at Hannah and she said, which one? Oh, I forgot. You don't have any. So can you imagine how Hannah must have felt? Now, when we look at this, we got two women here. And I'll talk about that a little bit later as far as how they kind of dealt with the heartache or how they dealt with this. But one of the things that I found so interesting is that, you know, every year they would go up to Shiloh. And I kind of did a little research on Shiloh, and it's about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. And after the conquest of the land of Israel by Joshua, this was where the tabernacle was set up. So that's where they would go to worship and to offer sacrifices. Now, Elkanah, he always offered a generous portion for Hannah because he loved her so much. And I'm sure that his heart hurt for her because she could not produce. She would just cry because Penauah would kind of provoke her and just irritate her or whatever because she couldn't have kids. And Elkanah looked at it, and he said, aren't I more to you than 10 sons? And basically she said no because she kept crying. And in the chapter, when she rose up, and there's something about a situation when you rise up above your situation that you're in. It's something about that standing position. And it's saying that this is no longer going to consume me. So what she did was she went to God in prayer. So she said, I'm not taking this. It's out of my hand. I mean, she got to the point where she was praying so her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out of her mouth. And Eli, the priest, actually thought she was drunk. So you can imagine how she was pouring her heart out before the Lord. And I believe and I know that God heard her prayer. Hallelujah. Now, I begin to think about the heart and how the heart can hurt so much. One of the terms that I kind of looked up was, I didn't really look it up, but it's something that I'm kind of familiar with, is cardiomyopathy. More specifically, it's called tachycardial cardiomyopathy. And basically what it is it's an enlargement of the heart muscles where the patient will come in with sudden chest pain and discomfort, and they actually feel like they're having a heart attack. Now, one of the things about this particular type of cardiomyopathy is that it can be caused by physical or emotional stress. And stress is one of the hormones that causes surge and actually causes the heart to enlarge. But get this, another name for this condition is broken heart syndrome. Yes. I recently talked to my daughter who works in a nursing home, and one of the things that she mentioned was she had a husband and wife, and she works nursing home. She actually loved working with older patients. She works in a nursing home, and she had a couple that was in the nursing home. The wife actually died. Within an hour, the husband died. And she was just so, I can't believe this, Mom. She said, but the husband died within an hour. And I honestly believe, and I began to share with her about this particular type of cardiomyopathy, and I believe that he just could not take the stress, and it was broken heart syndrome. Now, broken heart syndrome, I love that. Now, I believe that there's wounds of the heart where it's been broken and battered through mistreatment, disappointments, betrayal, abuse, and we're holding on to a lot of things that actually can make us sick from the stress. But God wants to remove those things so he can heal our broken hearts. He really wants to get down to the heart of the matter. Remember, we talked about the fruit earlier. God wants to get to the heart of the matter. He wants us to open up so that he can cultivate our hearts and move us to a level where we are, where we have healed hearts. I know lots of us have things that we've been through, things that we have a hard time letting go. I myself have had things that I had a hard time letting go. But I knew that forgiveness wasn't for that person, but it was for me so that I could move on, so that God could do what he needed to do in my life. I love this, where Luke 4, and I think it's Luke 4 and 18, where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So I just believe that there are times when God really wants to heal our hearts, but we're holding on to something, and we have to learn how to let go. And I'm hoping that this study will help us to get to that point, and that we'll open up and let God do a work on us, do a heart transplant. Hallelujah, that he'll do a heart transplant on us. So with that, I'm going to open up the lines because I really want to hear some discussion as far as some of the things that we've talked about. We can also include some of chapter one if y'all are, you know, if you went back and kind of, you know, pondered on it or whatever, and it's something that you want to add, that you're more than welcome to do that. So, Elder Kevin, can you please open up the lines?
Amen, Dr. Cole. Thank you so much for those listening all across the nation here and in the general area. We're on live with Dr. Sharon Cole on Women's Talk, and we're getting ready to open up the lines. And for those who are not speaking, please keep your mic or your phone on mute, and then, of course, open up your line when you're ready to speak as well. Dr. Cole, we're going to open up the lines. All the lines are now opening up. God bless you. Back to you.
Yep, praise God. Is Celeste on the line, or Donica?
This is Dr. Crenshaw. Celeste may not be on the phone. She had to travel out of town. I don't know if she's able. She might be, but I know that she was going out of town this afternoon, so she may not be on the line.
I'm sorry, Doc, you muffled a little bit.
Okay, I was just sharing that Sister Celeste might not be on the line tonight because she was traveling out of town. So she didn't
say
that she might. Okay.
Is Dinica on the line? Sister Dinica?
Did you say Dinica?
I did.
Hey, oh, okay, yes, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great.
Good. Okay. I'm not sure. Is there one that you would like to discuss as far as the seed or the study question, something that ministered to you or that you would like to share with the ladies?
Well, actually, just listening to you, I didn't really come on right at 8 o'clock, but I was listening when I did come on, and you were just talking about the different traditions and the different cultures with the multiple marriages and explaining about Hannah. And you gave a great example regarding the couple in the nursing home. I've seen that happen so many times over the years of working in the medical field of the love and commitment. And as you began to talk about that, I related more to our love for Christ and really the love that Christ has for us, that he truly shed his blood and died on the cross for our sins, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Love us so much that God gave his only begotten son, and the love that he had is like inseparable, that no one is like an agape love. So as you began to talk about not just the different marriages, but, you know, just explaining about the love and everything, and the love that Christ had for us. So that was really more of, you know, what just resonated in my spirit when you were talking about that. Amen.
Mm. Praise God. Thank you for sharing.
I think, Dr. Sharon, that's such a powerful, powerful lesson, because I know many can identify with life hurts, and particularly Hannah was dealing with inner hurts and pains that maybe she couldn't really share with anybody. And some of us may not admit it, but certainly if we're human, and the reality is we're human, you know, there are going to be times that that inner pain is not always comfortable, and is not always comfortable even sharing. Now I'm going to speak from a pastoral perspective, and I don't know if there's any pastors on the line, and certainly I know Pastor Vera can certainly identify if she was on the phone, but I think many times people, and that's not everybody, but I think, and I can speak personally for myself, sometimes they feel like pastors don't hurt, you know, or they're super people, you know, that can just take a beating and keep on ticking, which is probably the reality in some cases, because much given, much required. But I think sometimes there's a subtleness to not recognize that pastors also hurt. And they go through things that most times you probably cannot share with the actual normal person, because they probably wouldn't understand, because they've never pastored. So if a person's never pastored, I mean, they can assume, think, you know, analyze, try to sum it all up and figure, well, if I was, et cetera, but you really don't know unless you've been there. So many times pastors and pastors' wives, they live very, very, very lonely lives, even though they're smiling, because the reality is they always have to be in the position to minister and to give out. So with that, there's an extra challenge or extra burden internally and spiritually to be able to always be ahead of the game, to be willing to help others, because that's who they are. That's what they are, pastors, so they're shepherds. But at the same time, I think people should realize and note that they're human too. They hurt. They have those moments. They can't always share, because sometimes in wisdom is not even wise to share. And so, you know, with that said, it's so important that, you know, we learn how to pray for one another. I think that's what's so inspiring about, even though it's online and we're here together by phone, but I think it's important that we learn how to inspire, pray for one another, because you never know what the other person is really going to, unless we really, really, really get on our face with the Lord and God will show us some things. With that said, I think it's important for us not to be selfish. Because sometimes we can have our own internal hurt and pain, and then we say, oh me, oh me, oh me, and it's all about me. Thank God Jesus was not selfish, because all of us would be in a pretty sad case if the Lord would have decided when he went up to the mountain to pray and the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, decided to go to sleep on him. He could have changed his mind. But thank you, Jesus. He did not change his mind. Back to what Danica said, it's God's grace, his love, his peace, what Jesus did for us. Jesus was not selfish. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we certainly need to learn from the character of Christ, even when it talks about a healed heart, that we don't be selfish and feel like I'm the only heart that needs to be healed. And sometimes people get off, and that's what causes people to be island. People, but you should, if you're hurting, the worst thing you can do is be an island. That is the biggest mistake you could ever make, because you are a target for the devil. the enemy is coming after you. Sure as your name is what it is, when we separate, segregate, and feel like I can handle it all by myself, me and Jesus. Well, Jesus had enough wisdom to ask Peter, James, and John to pray with him. And he was the Son of the living God. Who are we to think that we are all of that, that we can conquer all of these demons that are being sent after our life by being an island, and we come up with our own plan to handle it? Our fleshly plan will fail. I'll say that again. Our fleshly plan will fail when we're dealing with inner hurts and pains that are caused by the situations
of this life. It will fail because no man can be an island on his own. They become a target for the enemy. If you don't believe it, ask King Ai that went in the midst of the valley in the book of Joshua, and the minute they saw him in that valley by himself, Joshua chapter 7 and 8, when they saw him in the valley by himself, the enemy came from every direction. But what they didn't realize, he was smart. He had ambushments set up on the outside of the camp, but they didn't know that. But what was significant was the fact he positioned himself to be an island, which attracted the enemy to him in the midst of a valley situation. So we're going to go. If we're going to be in a valley situation, don't go alone. You better have a plan and a backup plan. And that backup plan better be spiritual, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this present world. And the enemy is going to come out in any direction that he can find an open door. So I encourage everybody listening tonight is that everybody hurts. And I speak from the heart of a pastor, because I know many, many times, I've hurt so bad that I didn't know how to spell the word forward or backward.
Mm.
But at the same time, I knew how to stand, smile, keep going. Doesn't mean they're not hurting. That's why it's important for us to pray for one another and take nothing lightly and realize that everybody has got a warfare to fight. And the scripture tells us, much given, much required. Little given, little required. So whatever level that you're on, the enemy is going to come to pierce your heart. So I encourage you, protect your heart through prayer, through covenant relationships, and through pastoral covenanting and shepherding and hearing the word of the Lord. So I'm going to stop right there, because to me this is a very encouraging topic that would help us really be able to sustain this journey of life that can sometimes be so complicated. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to turn it back to you, Dr. Cole. I'm sure somebody else out there has something else to share and say.
Amen, amen. I would like to chime in, kind of piggyback on Dr. Crenshaw, and I truly agree and believe that I don't really myself have a challenge with, I would say, holding in, trying to be on that island. I am one who will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to be able to look and see who I can vent to, ask for mentorship, guidance on a spiritual level. But there are people out there who are even born-again believers who are hesitant to do that because of the lack of trust, of the lack of integrity on other people's parts. I think is you have to be mindful when you are going through not to get so caught up in your emotions that you share your challenges with people who might say that they will pray for you, but they're not even on that mature level to know how to go in and intercede on your behalf or even pray in their prayer language when they don't even know what's going on, when they sense in their spirit and you may cross their mind to be able to pray. So those who may be going through or feel like they're all alone, they're really not, but you have to be mindful of who you tap in or allow to come into that inner circle to be able to share, because then you find yourself in more problems from the beginning than you were, you know, at first. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh. Hi, good evening. This is Trina. I'm joining for the first time. Dr. Crenshaw invited me. Hi, Dr. Cole. Hi, Danica.
Hi, praise the Lord. Welcome.
Amen. Hi, thank you. Thank you. One of the things that stuck out with me as it relates to this passage of scripture in 1 Samuel, and you guys were speaking about knowing who to vent to, knowing who to be able to release, you know, that what you need to release as it relates to whatever you might be going through. But one of the scripture that really just rises off the page for me is what Hannah did. And it seemed like all this week the word heart has been coming up. And I know I was on a conference call a couple of days ago, and they were literally talking about, you know, what really the heart is. And they used the term, the Hebrew word lev. And it was talking about, as you mentioned earlier, that the heart is also interchangeably used with the soul, and it's the place mm-hmm. where you house your emotions, your will, and your intellect. And I love the fact that when we might be going through or enduring something so strong and so severe, like when Elkanah came to Hannah and he saw that she was in some type of distress, she couldn't even verbalize to him what was going on with her, because he asked her several questions, and she just got mm-hmm. up and she took up her position to the sanctuary, and she just released and yielded everything that was going on, you know, with her anguish, and she just cried out to the Lord. And one of the beautiful things I love about that is when you can't really voice what's going on with you, God accepts you just as you are. You can come and verbalize to him your distress, what might be going on. It's not like he doesn't know, but I believe he wants you to be able to verbalize it, speak it out, cry it out. And then what happens is it gives him an opportunity to say, okay, let me interject. Let me step in. And even in that time of prayer, you open yourself up to be able to hear who he might be directing you to or leading you to, where you can share a little bit more and get some insight or some wisdom from someone that can guide you through. But most importantly, I love the fact that God don't dismiss us. And when we're in anguish, when we're in pain, when we don't know how to verbalize it, when we release it unto him, it then opens up the door for us to move to get the assistance that we need.
Ooh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. That was good. I like the fact that you talked about opening up, which is so important. And the scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, is Proverbs 27:17, and it just says, iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another. That is one of my favorite scriptures, and it is so true. One of the things that is important to me is that I have friends around that I can share with. And I know that you mentioned open up so that God shows you or he leads you to the person that he would have you to go to. And I know we all do this. I'm not the only one, but I'll just throw it out there. I have certain friends that I go to for certain things. For instance, my friend Libby, she's the one, if I go to her with an issue or something that's going on or whatever, she's going to make me think about, well, Sharon, how do you think that other person felt? She's always giving it to me that way. And she said, well, how do you think you made them feel? Or maybe you shouldn't have said it in that way. And then I can go to my friend Dinah, because she's going to always be the one that say, girl, if you want to buy that, just go ahead and buy it. I mean, she just has no filter, if I could say that. And then, of course, there's Jenny, that's Crenshaw. If I go to her, she's going to say, girl, you know you need to get that right. You know you're wrong. So it's just certain people that are certain friends that we know that God puts in our life so that we can share things, so that we can open up, so that we can be vulnerable, and that they're not judgmental. Because like Dr. Crenshaw mentioned, we're not an island. We can't exist in this thing that we call the world. We can't exist alone. We need each other. And I just love the opening music that was chosen by Dr. Crenshaw about I Need You, You Need Me. I absolutely love that song because it is so true and it speaks to my heart. And one of the things that I thought about, it kind of goes to question three, where it says, where it talks about Hannah and how she had to endure what Peninnah was doing to her. I thought about I wonder how it would have worked out if the two of these women had come together. You had one that was lashing out, and you had one that just went to the Lord, but they didn't look at each other as support. And that was one of the questions that I had. How do you think that would have worked out if they would have leaned and depended on each other or just kind of shared with each other?
Well, I think, you know, always when we are open and transparent, it helps to heal wounds. And, you know, it's when we hold on, and women are very good at that, holding on to stuff for years, months, and ages. You know, a man coming into our life, he leaves, and, you know, he's probably got about five wives since the last time he left her. but they're still holding on to him, you know. So sometimes I think just being able to be transparent, but of course that has to be a personal choice to be open for healing. I mean, I can't, it can't be any dialogue if I choose to remain stubborn and bitter. And so I think the coming together, if that would have happened, it may have made a difference. I mean, the mm-hmm. scripture even tells us, come, let us reason together. So there has,
yes.
you know, there's some scriptorial relevance there. You know, come, let us reason together. Of course, that's a different mindset of culture that, you know, from us today that we could think on that level when we're talking about a man with two wives and two wives trying to come together because one can have babies and the other one can't. You know, mm-hmm. our minds have to really do some serious shifting to go there. But at the close of the day, the scripture is real. You know, come let us reason, you know, together. So God, you know, can do a whole lot of things when we open up and communicate. Scripture even tells us fail not to communicate. So I think communication is so important in the healing process of any relationship or any dealings we have to deal with. Communication is so important.
Mm. Wow. Is Eva on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Eva.
Hi, Sharon. Hey, everybody.
Hi, would you like to share anything that really spoke to your heart that you would like to share with the ladies?
I was just thinking about Hagar, mm-hmm. how she loved Abraham. And, of course, we know Hagar gave Abraham a son, Ishmael, and then Sarah conceived and had Isaac. And so the contention was so bad that Sarah went to Abraham and said, look, and I'm just paraphrasing, hey, this chick is starting to get on my nerves. And Abraham said, look, do what you want with her. And so we know that Abraham gave Sarah permission to cast Hagar out. And so mm-hmm. Hagar goes off alone, upset, her feeling abandoned, feeling rejected. But what I love about Genesis 16:13, she was feeling down. And then the Lord came and visited Hagar, and they had a conversation, and Hagar said, hey, the God who sees me. And that's the thing I love about God, because the psalmist declared that the Lord, he's near those that's of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. And so even when, you know, life deals us a harsh blow, or we feel rejected or thrown away, and even when we can't articulate what we're feeling, God is still near us, because he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities or our hurts. And so that just makes me happy to know that even when man throws you away, God won't throw us away, and he'll even come see about us, and he'll minister to us like he ministered to Hagar in Genesis, the 16th chapter. And because of that, mm-hmm. that conversation, she named him Eroi, which means the God who sees me, and I survived after seeing him. And so it's just a blessing that he won't throw us away. And scripture reminds us that even when my mother and my father forsake me, you know, then the Lord, he'll take me up. So I thank God for his word. And I have a hard time sharing with people because I'm a very private person. So my mother often teaches me that I have the spirit of Mary in me, because I ponder a lot of things in my heart. I keep it inside. But thank God. He's good. And that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, praise God. Thank you for sharing.
Whew. Amen.
Mm.
Well, I tell you, beautiful tonight. This is powerful. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Mm. A question for the ladies. And we'll be getting together, and I'm going to kind of talk about that at the end. We'll be getting together. How comfortable, and this is just a question, how comfortable are you all with sharing among the group? I know that a lot of you haven't met, you haven't seen each other or whatever, but as far as spirit to spirit and as far as the study is concerned, because you don't know, your sister may have went through, and I'm sure they have, some of the same things that you're going through. I'm divorced, so I'm sure somebody has went through a divorce that's on the line or whatever. But and I'm telling you, that's really a hurt as far as trying to get yourself back on track because you feel like you've been rejected. I mean, you have all these feelings just kind of going off in your head or whatever. So how comfortable are you all with sharing among your sisters?
This is Danica. I am comfortable. I believe that it's an opportunity to be able to allow burdens to be removed and yoke to be destroyed, not just in your life, but those who you share. Because like you say, you never know what somebody else may have experienced, or they may be in the process of getting ready to go through. And your testimony of what you've gone through may help deliver them and give them guidance of, you know, decisions that they need to make. So I'm okay with that.
Okay, praise God. Thank you, Danica.
Hi, this is Trina. I'm comfortable with sharing as well. I've adopted this saying. I'm not my sister's keeper. I am my sister because what I realize is that I've encountered many different women, and once you get to talking to them, and as much as the Holy Spirit would allow you to share, you learn that there's many similarities. It may not be the same thing, but there's many similarities, and there's something that you can share or another person can share. Even if it's in a different area, that helps to heal something or helps to encourage something in another person. So, yes, I'm free. To me, it's just true freedom.
Praise God. Thank you, Trina. I'm certainly okay with sharing, and I just actually love this study, and I'm hoping that it will really minister to all of the women that are on the line. I know we probably have more on the line that are not comfortable talking or speaking or whatever, but we will have an opportunity to meet and just kind of fellowship, whatever you want to call it. So I'm comfortable with sharing as well.
Praise the Lord. And, of course, you know, Crenshaw, I'm certainly comfortable. I think it is, you know, imperative that we learn how to share and certainly be open. I do also take that to another level, you know, being in a pastoral role, how sometimes that could be quite challenging, and some of the things that pastors face is somewhat of a tough road. You know, much prayer is always needed for those in those levels of leadership. So, Dr. Sharon, if you don't mind, I'll certainly we'll leave it open if somebody else wants to say something. But, you know, I just feel led that if it's anybody that's on the line tonight that's going through something like now, and you just desire prayer, maybe you're not open enough to say exactly what it is, that's okay. Maybe you want to say what it is so that we can just pray for that situation tonight.
Amen. 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 So everyone went quiet on me.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Sharon, I think we just pray for all of us tonight. How about that? We say a prayer before you share it, go into other things that you wanted to share. But I think it's been a wonderful discussion, and certainly I know somebody out there desires prayer with something they may be experiencing personally, on the job, anywhere. Praise the Lord. So if you led of the Lord, Dr. Sharon, to just say a word of a prayer for the ladies tonight.
Amen. Amen. Father God, it's on tonight that we come to you, God, and first of all, we just want to say thank you. God, I thank you for just how good you've been, and God, most of all, I thank you for the ladies that are gathered here on the line. God, I pray and ask you that you will begin to cultivate our hearts, God, that you begin to break up the stony ground. And not only that, God, but I pray for healing in the areas that some of the ladies may not even be comfortable mentioning. So, God, I pray and ask you that you take care of that person that may be going through on the job, that may be going through in a marriage, in a relationship. God, and you know any finances, God, I just pray and ask you, God, that you begin to touch that situation. God, I pray that you would have their way, have your way in their lives, God. And, God, most of all, we just want to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for what you're going to do, God, not only in this situation, God, but in the situations that may be coming to face. God, I bind the hand of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. I come against anything that may be disturbing sleep, God, anything that may be causing stress, depression, God. I bind it all right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray and ask you that you would give them a peace, God. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. And, God, we thank you for how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, thank God and amen. And that's great. Yeah. If you want to. Okay. I just want to mention that hallelujah, we will not have a study on the 15th of March. But what I would like to do is, that's a Friday, of course. I would like to have our first meet and greet and just sisterhood and fellowship here at the house on the 15th or 16th. I know the 15th, folks are getting off work. It's probably traffic or whatever. So I'm thinking that the 16th may be a better day, which is that Saturday. And I was thinking around maybe 5 or 6 p.m., just kind of let me know what your thoughts or ideas are. 15th or 16th.
Yes, Dr. Sharon, I just want to throw it out there. I'm not really sure. Although, Kevin, if you're on the line, I thought it was the 8th that he wouldn't be available, which is next Friday.
Is it next Friday?
For the call, I think it is. Elder Kevin, are you there? I thought it was the 8th.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Next Friday. Is
absolutely.
That correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I'll be out
I'll be out
the 8th. Mm-hmm. But the next broadcast would be the 15th.
Okay. So what about the 9th, about 5 o'clock? 5 or 6? You all give me some ideas. What are your thoughts? I know, you know, a lot of you go to church on Sundays. Of course, we have church on Saturday as well. And Friday, I know how the traffic can be in Atlanta on a Friday afternoon or Friday night. So I was thinking more so a Saturday kind of afternoon.
I'm okay with that.
And, of course, I'm okay with it, Dr. Sharon, and probably.
Okay.
I know Sister Zalette and a couple of others, Sister Tamika's probably not on the phone, but I'm sure they're okay with it as well. I think one of Tamika, she may have to work that evening, but I think it should be okay with a couple that may not be on the phone tonight.
Okay. So 5 or 6, which time works better, you think, for the group?
I'm open.
It doesn't matter to me, whatever everybody's comfortable with. If they wanted to do 5 so they could, you know, be able to get back home and be rested up for their, you know, their Sunday. I don't know. I think 5 may be better, but, you know, I would certainly want everybody else to agree.
Right.
For the first meet and greet, are we able to bring a guest or hold off until a later time?
Oh, no, absolutely. You can bring a guest.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to attend next week. This is Trina. I'm actually traveling, so I won't be in.
Okay.
Sure, we understand.
All right. That's my cousin, y'all. That's why I keep picking on her. I love her.
Love you too.
Okay. So 5 o'clock on Saturday. And what I can do is I don't know how I could get the address. Dr. Chris, are there any suggestions on how to get the address to everyone? Or?
Well, if you could just, well, you know, I have the address. I could just text it out to everybody, and if they're bringing a guest, they can make sure that they're, you know, the guests have it, whoever they're bringing with them. But I think that's
okay.
The best approach is that we text
okay.
out your address.
Okay. All right. And I actually encourage that you bring another another woman. That would be great, another sister. And hopefully they'll, you know, join in on the study as well. So that would be great. I just wish I could be comfortable. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just had a quick question. Would we be, I guess, prepared to discuss Chapter 3 since we won't be online for next week? Okay.
Thank you. Okay. And then afterward, of course, we'll have some snacks and just kind of enjoy each other and get to know each other. Okay? Right, that's it. I guess I'll turn it back over
to the Lord.
Okay, all right. Yep. Elder Kevin, unless you had something, Dr. Crenshaw.
No, that's it. I just wanted to thank all of the ladies for logging on. Appreciate each of you for doing that. I think in this season and time that we live in, it's not, you know, it is so important that we certainly pray for one another, inspire one another, and certainly encourage one another. So I just certainly want to appreciate the Lord for this time. And certainly, Dr. Sharon, I want to appreciate you for having the passion to want to host this and do this. And praise
thank,
the Lord for you
thank
tonight.
You.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay. With that, I'll say good night, and you all have a great weekend, and we will see each other next week.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole. We're just excited about you and excited about you joining us tonight. We've been talking about Cultivating My Heart, book by Dr. Verna Lee Ray Warner, just an awesome pastor. And once again, the title is Cultivating My Heart by Pastor Warner. And for more information, you can contact Elder Kevin Vaughn at 404-401-0233, 404-401-0233. We'll be glad to pass on the information to Dr. Cole as needed there. Okay, thank you so much for that. Hey, also, too, one quick announcement. We want to make sure everybody knows about the Pensacola, Florida Visionaries and Covenant Women's Summit coming up Friday through Sunday, March 22nd through 24th. If you would like to attend and also enjoy the beautiful white beaches, contact Dr. Janice Crenshaw via email at drjcrenshaw@gmail.com. Once again, drjcrenshaw@gmail.com. Hotel rooms reserved at the Hilton Garden Inn on Airport Boulevard. And for more information, you can contact me as well at 404-401-0233, 404-401-0233. We'll be glad to pass on the information to Dr. Crenshaw. Also, for those listening as well, for those who like to donate to the ministry, you can send your donations and even, of course, your tithes and offering to Cash App. That's $KLWCALATL. Once again, that's the Cash App, $KLWCATL. Or you can go to PayPal. Ladies and gentlemen, for those who like PayPal, you can go to JC Prayer, C-O-N-F. That's JC Prayer, C-O-N-F at AOL.com. And once again, I'll be glad to text you this information. You can give me a call or a text at 404-401-0233. That's 404-401-0233. Thank you so much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole. God bless you. We want you to have a great rest of the evening. And have an awesome, awesome weekend in the Lord. Remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless you now.
happy here. You need me.
You need
me. Oh, we're all.
We're all.
Gentlemen, this has been another broadcast with Dr. Sharon Cole on Women's Talk. We'll see you next time on the network. God bless you. Thank you so much for your time.